Hey, I'm Michaela Lafrac, co-host of Vermont Edition. I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited down for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Today on the show, we're talking about bicycling in Vermont. The COVID-19 pandemic has spurred lots of new interest in outdoor recreation. It's also brought many new people to Vermont. One of the draws is the state's biking culture. Many people use e-bikes to get their kids to school or to commute to work and spend off hours cycling on the state's winding roads. Vermont also has an expanding network of mountain biking trails, a boon for athletes, but they've caused some tension with private landowners. Later in the hour, we'll be joined by cycling advocates from different parts of the state, including the Kingdom Trails Association in the Northeast Kingdom and Local Motion. But first, we're going to take a look at how biking is bringing in tourists. To do that, we're joined by Heather Pelham, the Commissioner of Vermont's Tourism Department. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Have you noticed an increase in bike tourism? How do you feel about it? Give us a call this hour at 800-639-2211. You can also email us at vermontedition@vpr.org or tweet us at Vermont Edition. All right, Commissioner Pelham, let's start with the big picture first around Vermont tourism. Numbers of out-of-state visitors dropped during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Are you starting to see those numbers pick back up?
We are starting to see those numbers pick back up, which is wonderful. So just for context, you know, Vermont on average pre-pandemic would see about 13 million visitors come over the course of a year. That dropped to about 8 million in 2020. So that was a huge disruption for our industry. But we have seen those numbers climb back up again. Last summer was very strong, and we're very optimistic that this summer we may see those visitation numbers get back to our pre-pandemic levels. So lots of optimism in the industry for the season ahead.
And what season does Vermont usually welcome the most tourists?
It is actually summer that we see the most tourists come to the state. And altogether, you know, the tourism industry is a huge for our state. It's about $3 billion that it provides in economic impact and actually supports over 30,000 jobs in Vermont, or about 10% of our workforce. Mm.
So let's talk biking here. Does your office track how many people are coming into the state for specific outdoor recreation activities like biking? Or do you have any other signs that show that interest is perhaps increasing?
Well, we definitely see that folks were drawn to all sorts of outdoor recreation activities during the pandemic. And I mean, even before that, outdoor recreation has always played a really pivotal role in Vermont's brand story, both for residents and for visitors. Outdoor recreation and biking in particular is definitely part of, you know, our core messages when we talk about the state and all that we have to offer for visitors. We are seeing strong numbers from local bike chapters in terms of people on the trails, the types of economic activity in, you know, the hubs around mountain biking, and, you know, gravel biking as well is a huge draw to the state. So, you know, we don't have exact numbers of these people just coming here to bike versus something else, but, you know, altogether biking is a huge part of the culture of outdoor recreation in the state. And we definitely lean in on that, you know, when we are doing our destination marketing to encourage folks to come here and to visit.
Listeners, if you are a avid cyclist, or if you have hosted visitors who have come to the state to go biking on the state's trails or roads, give us a call, 800-639-2211. We already have a call in from Dave in Morrisville. Dave, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm sitting here in Morrisville, right next to the station, about to take my bike off the back of my Jeep and head out on the Lamoille Valley Trail.
Wow, that's great. Well, thanks for calling us before you're going out on the trail. What do you love about cycling?
Well, I'm a recent retiree. I actually live over in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. But, you know, I wanted to share that I just recently completed a ride from Washington, D.C. out to Pittsburgh, which uses one of the probably arguably the most advanced rail trail in the country, right, which is the CNO Canal Towpath and the Great Allegheny Passage. And what I had observed there is, you know, all of these towns and places that perhaps had been economically challenged along the trail have just sprouted up. So many businesses that cater to riders, whether they bike shops or restaurants or inns or campgrounds and so forth. It's just an amazing economic revival and, a way to transform sort of some of the more moribund towns into really vibrant places.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Dave. I know that trail you're talking about. I've done part of it. My husband's done the whole thing, and it really is a beautiful ride from D.C. up to Pittsburgh. Heather Pelham with the state's tourism industry, can you talk a bit about this kind of the economic growth that towns can see that can crop up around biking?
Yeah, I think that what's really interesting about outdoor recreation and tourism, especially in a rural state like Vermont, is that that economic impact is able to touch all corners of the state. So when somebody comes to go biking, they're going to stop in the local country store. They're going to stop, get a bite to eat. They're going to stay overnight. They're going to shop in, a local store maybe to get some equipment for their activity they're taking part in. And so the fact that we are such a rural state and our economic activity is very dispersed, having such a strong outdoor recreation culture and having so many places where folks can really enjoy that is a real huge economic driver for all sorts of small communities who, may not have a traditionally one large employer, one large industry, but there's all sorts of types of outdoor recreation that you can enjoy that really has a huge trickle down to all sorts of smaller businesses that get that ancillary benefit of folks coming to their communities for the first time or hopefully for many repeat visits.
Well, on the other side of this coin is a listener named Nick, who sent us an email ahead of this show. And Nick wrote, I'm quoting here, "Vermont has remained as wild as it can be because people don't talk about their favorite trails. In doing so, you're publicly removing any chance of privacy, any chance that a car from New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, or New Hampshire will be waiting for you when you arrive the next time for solace." So, Commissioner Pelham, I'm curious how you would respond to this type of concern about out-of-towners, quote-unquote, ruining places of solace.
Well, I would like to think that Vermont has enough opportunities for all of us to share. I'm not saying that any one person has to share where they prefer to go themselves, to quote-unquote get away. But tourism is a huge part of our economy. As I mentioned, it employs 10% of our workforce. So when we welcome out-of-state visitors here, it's really about supporting our economy, and it's providing jobs, and it's providing that economic activity for the small businesses that we as residents all depend on to be there when we want to go out to eat, let's say for a special occasion, that restaurant needs to rely on out-of-state visitation to make the bottom line make sense throughout the year. So I guess I would just say that, I feel like there's plenty of opportunity for all of us. And if we could, all show a little bit of kindness and respect to each other. If you come to a trailhead and there's no parking, yes, we would encourage you to go someplace else so that experience stays positive for everybody. One of the things that we try and do at the Department of Tourism is just really show people that there are so many different places that you can enjoy the state, that you don't have to go to just one location that you may have heard of, that we try and encourage people to find different places to spread the love, so to speak.
Sure. And Commissioner Pelham, for listeners interested in getting more resources about biking around the state, what resources does Vermont's Tourism Office offer for people?
Well, the best place to go is to our website, which is vermontvacation.com. And we have information on biking, on mountain biking, also on events that are going on throughout the state this summer. There's some great big biking events coming this summer that the department has been able to help sponsor. That includes the U.S. Open at Killington in September and the Enduro World Series for mountain biking at Burke in August. So you can find information on events on our website, as well as just all sorts of planning resources for where to stay, where to eat, things to do, et cetera, at vermontvacation.com.
Heather Pelham is the Commissioner of Vermont's Tourism and Marketing Department. Commissioner Pelham, thanks so much for coming back on Vermont Edition.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
We're joined now by Mary Catherine Graziano, the Outreach and Training Coordinator for Local Motion. It's a statewide nonprofit that teaches kids how to bike, runs e-bike lending libraries, operates a bike ferry over Lake Champlain, and offers numerous programs to make biking more accessible. Mary Catherine, thanks for joining us.
Hello.
We're also joined today by Lil Ide, the Kingdom Trail Association's Director of Communication and Education. Lil, welcome.
Hello.
So first, Lil, let's start with the Kingdom Trail Association. Where is it and how does it work?
Good question. It is quite an unusual model. So the Kingdom Trail Association is a nonprofit association. Our center is located in East Burke, Vermont, but our entire trail network spans over 100 miles and spans between four different towns. So that's Lindenville, East Haven, Kirby, and Burke. And those are all towns in the Northeast Kingdom in Caledonia County.
So 100 miles of trails, and the majority, if not all, are on private land, right? It's private landowners who have agreed to let their land be used for mountain biking?
Exactly, yes. So the entire trail network is on 104 private properties. So it is simply by their permission that the entire network exists.
Great. And listeners, if you have used any of the trails or a member of the Kingdom Trail Association, give us a call, 800-639-2211. Now, Mary Catherine, your organization is focused on biking as recreation, but also as an alternative to driving, right? How do you get people to switch from cars to bikes in a largely rural state like Vermont?
Yeah. So there are opportunities to use your bike for transportation, even when you live in a rural area. Obviously, biking to work is impossible. Many Vermonters live, an hour's drive from the place of work.
Right.
I live on Isle of Mont, which is a small island in Lake Champlain. And I use my bike for transportation to the businesses and the post offices, post office in my town. So there are options, even in rural states, for folks to walk or bike somewhere to get from point A to point B.
And your organization also does lending libraries for bikes. How does that work?
Yeah, so we have an e-bike lending library, actually several of them. We have one that's situated in Burlington, and then we have one that travels throughout the state. That goes, towns contact us and ask us if they can host the library for a few weeks. And we bring the bikes to them and help them set up the lending system, and Vermonters can borrow the bikes. We also have worked with a few towns have permanent libraries in their areas. Currently that's Middlebury, Brattleboro, and Rutland. And these lending libraries let people borrow bikes for actually a few days, so they can really see if the e-bike works for their lifestyle and really test it out, because e-bikes aren't cheap and you really want to make sure you've made a good choice before investing. On the plus side, in Vermont, several utilities offer rebates for people who buy bikes from Vermont retailers. And both VFCCU and Opportunities Credit Unions offer low interest e-bike loans as well. So it is a little easier to make e-bikes accessible.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I will say that I am signed up later in the summer to use one of the e-bikes from your program. I'm really excited. I have ridden one once or twice, and it was so much fun. Now, Lil, I know that e-bikes are actually a semi-controversial topic in the mountain biking world, and your organization, the Kingdom Trails Association, recently made a decision on them. Can you tell us about it?
Sure, yeah. Traditionally, we have been a non-motorized network, and that's because that's our agreement with our landowners, that we agreed that we would not allow motorized vehicles. However, you know, there's been a huge surge in e-mountain bike sales. We were seeing them everywhere.
Oh, Lil, I believe you cut out there. Are you still with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. So as an association, we realized we needed to address our policy, revisit it, review. So we started a review procedure for our policy, e-mountain bike policy. We started it last June, and first thing we did was kind of just basically educate ourselves as an association. Our executive director, Abby, worked with our board of directors to develop the process that we would go through, where we would learn everything we could possibly learn about e-mountain bikes, any studies that went on, any other associations that we could consult with, such as the New England Mountain Bike Association, International Mountain Bike Association, VIMBA, Vermont Mountain Bike Association, any land managers, state and federal, and also other trail organizations like the Green Woodlands in New Hampshire, who ran a pilot program in 2019. So we learned everything we could, and we brought that. We really wanted to involve the landowners in the process since it is on their property, and we wanted them to be educated and feel like they were part of the process. So we presented all the information we found, and we asked them for their input and for their questions. Through that process, we learned that hosting a demo for them would be a good process. Mm-hmm. So we did that. They were able to check them out. And then we also announced to the public and to everyone, we invited their input. We said, what does everybody think about e-mountain bikes and whether they should or should not be allowed on the trail network? We opened up an email address for everyone to give their input, and that received a lot of input. And then also through this process, what we found was that there is the Americans with Disabilities Act says that any publicly accessed trail network does need to allow anyone with a mobility disability to access the trail network. And so through this, we have developed a new policy, which is that e-mountain bikes are still not allowed on Kingdom Trails except as may be required by law for individuals with mobility disabilities.
All right. And Mary Catherine, I'd love for you to jump in here because I know you use an e-bike, is that right? And have some experience with how it's helped make, you know, living with a disability, you know, a bit easier.
Yes, I have a hearing disability, which actually affects my balance. So I can ride a two-wheel bike, but it's much more challenging for me and always feels a little scary because, you know, when you're about, you can't rely on your balance, you're always almost about to fall over. So I have a tricycle with the two wheels in front, and it's a cargo tricycle, so I can take my daughter with me on bike rides. And that also makes it feel safer as well for her to go on bike rides with me, because I won't have to worry about falling over with my child.
Have you tried it on any mountain bike trails or just for commuting?
This is just road biking. Absolutely. Okay. I am not a mountain biker. Again, the balance issues make that an interesting proposition. But I do support people with disabilities having access when they are in public spaces. For sure, any bikes are an important tool for accessibility for folks with disabilities.
Right. I'd like to go back to the phones here, and we have a call from Nick Bennett, who's the executive director of the Vermont Mountain Bike Association. Thanks for calling in, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I've heard that your association has seen a growth in membership. Is that right?
Yeah, last year we saw about 25% growth year over year from 2020.
Wow. What do you attribute that to?
I mean, I think you see it out on the trails. I think over the past, it's actually a lot of people thought, is this sort of a spur from the pandemic? But
right.
Over the past 5-10 years, we've seen steady, consistent growth. And really just, I think, two things that I would attribute it to. One is that trails have gotten better and better. We're seeing trails that are more enjoyable, more accessible, more fun for more people. And then also bikes have gotten a lot better. People are getting on bikes that are much more capable. And that first experience on a mountain bike isn't jarring. And, you know, half the folks kind of don't necessarily want to come back, but you actually really can get out on the trail and enjoy even your first ride. So I think technology and trails are the two things really driving that increase.
Interesting. And do you, is your association primarily Vermonters, or are there folks who are from other neighboring states who are part of it?
Yeah, so we're a 501c3 celebrating our 25th year, and we've got, last year we ended with just over 9,400 members, so we're kind of itching towards 10,000. We see about 85% of that are Vermonters, folks that live in Vermont, but we do have a good number, you know, the remaining 15% that live out of state, either have a second home here or come here to recreate. So we're actually working hard to encourage more and more out-of-staters to become members, because then that allows us then to both, for them both to support the trails in terms of helping fund the work that our chapters do to maintain those trails, but also for us to be able to maintain communication and help educate them about trail etiquette, trail openings and closures, things like that.
Right. And I do, we saw this big article in the New York Times recently, received some emails from listeners like the one I read at the beginning of the show, from folks who are, you know, feeling a little bit of hesitancy about the growth in tourism around mountain biking. And I'm curious how you in your role kind of confront that or help make mountain biking feel inclusive and welcoming and not perhaps disruptive.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that back up, because I was listening to Heather. I thought her answer was great, but I had some thoughts I wanted to add too. I mean, the question of public trails is a really important one. And we, as Lil pointed out, we rely on private landowners. They host 70% of our trails statewide. So that's critical. And the reality is that not every public trail needs to be publicly mapped or on trail forks, or to where anybody coming here for the first time can just find their way out into a trail network. Part of the charm of Vermont mountain biking and mountain bike culture is discovering new trails every time you come back. And that involves getting to know the locals, participating in a trail work day, really becoming more ingrained in that culture. So my response to there is there are networks that are really well suited to welcoming people in from out of state, and we have a ton of them. We have more than 50 networks statewide. So a lot of those networks are great for that person here for the first time to come and explore. But part of the great thing is if you get into it, you get hooked, you come back again and again, you get to learn about these networks that are open to the public, but they're not as easy to find. And so that is something that we're trying to embrace culturally. And also it's an important thing for the trails. There are trails out there that are designed to take large volumes of tires and traffic. And there are other trails that are really more meant to be a little bit, you know, less, to see less, people out there. So that we are really trying to embrace that character head on and figure out how can we keep some trails a little bit more secluded, but still public access, but then ensure that we're also welcoming new folks to the sport and folks from out of state as well.
And then lastly, Nick, before I let you go and get back to your day, what advice do you have for someone who might be intimidated to start mountain biking but is interested?
Yeah, that's a great question. So part of that is to look at the trails that are kind of near to you. It's always nice to start with those home networks. And our website has all of our links to all of our chapters pages, so you can kind of tune into where you live. But then really, it's understanding those networks that are best suited to those beginner riders. And they're scattered throughout the state. So I can think of networks, you know, Kingdom Trails is a great example, but going over to Slate Valley over in Pulteney, Stowe up in the north has some great entry-level trails. So there, and Fellowship right around Burlington, there's a ton of great networks, Saxon Hill and others, that are really well suited to newer riders. That's part of it, is making sure you start on the right foot. And then, you know, I think part mountain biking is it's really a communal sport, and one that's best, if possible, designed to be done with others. So we have, I can think of down in Killington this past weekend, we had a kickoff party, our Killington chapter had a kickoff party, and they had group rides with dozens of people showing up to go ride the trails together, many of whom were new and beginners. So if you can go to find those events, and we have a lot of those on the event page on our website as well, where you can go and get to know the sport with others, and that makes it a lot more fun and less intimidating than heading out by yourself.
Thanks so much, Nick. That's Nick Bennett with the Vermont Mountain Bike Association. Let's go now to Sean in Quebec. Sean, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. I'm just calling in with a couple comments.
Sure.
Being north of the border, we actually have a family business that runs activities, cycling activities, and we love the state of Vermont. We're up around Richford, Vermont, but we quite often go into Montgomery. We may take a group down to St. Albans. And predominantly, we're getting American tourists coming to our location. We've had a 25-year-plus relation with Road Scholar, which actually does outdoor living, learning adventures for outdoor education. And so it's pretty cool. We love your state. And I'm telling you, for anybody from across the states or here in Canada, we think that probably the scenic value in Vermont is untouchable, particularly for cyclists. Our national team trains right through here.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Sean. And we love Quebec right here on the show. We always love getting some callers in from the north. So thank you for calling. Oh, Mary.
Excellent. You could check us out at the Outdoor Lodge.
Will do. All right. Mary Catherine, I'd love to go back to you. You're with Local Motion, and I know you have programs all around the state. What are some of your favorite places to go biking?
Yeah, so I just love biking in my town, honestly. Like I said, I live on a small island. You'd think there's, you know, maybe 7 or 8 miles long. You'd think you'd run out of things to look at, but the neat thing about biking is you get a chance to discover something new every time you ride. So I'll go and check out the lighthouse view from my island, take my daughter down to look at some fossils. We always see some neat wildlife, turtles sunning on rocks, beaver dams, that kind of thing. So I love where I am for a bike ride. It's always exciting, but I also really love the Island Line bike trail, bike path. It's amazing.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, the causeway is not to be missed. You feel like you're pedaling on the lake. It's gorgeous.
Listeners, what are your favorite places to bike around Vermont? Give us a call, 800-639-2211. Now, Lil, with the Kingdom Trails Association, I know we lost you for a second, so I'm not sure if you heard our caller, Sean, from Quebec, but he was talking about the kind of outdoor recreation network along Vermont's northern border with Canada. I know that your trail association gets a lot of visitors from Canada normally. How have those numbers changed in recent years, particularly with the border closure from COVID?
Yeah, well, we're really excited to be welcoming the Canadians back now as of this year. Prior to the border closing for COVID, we did see about 38% of our members were Canadian. So a lot, we have a very international crowd here, and that was wonderful. Obviously, they haven't been here for the last few years, and it was interesting because our visitation last year was pretty much down exactly that amount. So accounting for, we did have a little bit of domestic growth, but it really matched the numbers based on the border being closed and how many members we had from Canada. This year, we're seeing them back again, and the feedback out there is that they're really happy to be back and feeling very grateful, and we're feeling grateful that they're here, and everyone's very happy.
Well, that's great news. We need a little more happy international relations news in our world. Let's go now to Peter in Underhill. Peter, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Plod Kingdom Trails review of e-mountain bikes. It seems like they came to a good decision. Last year, there was a classification of e-bikes enacted, class 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate. The e-bikes, people say that, and it's something that ranges from, a little toy to a very powerful electric motorcycle, the type that injured Simon Cowell. And the classifications that were enacted don't really bring any safety or performance regulations with them.
And Peter, can I ask before we let you go, what kind of safety regulations would you like to see in place around e-bikes?
Yeah. We're very fortunate that both China and Europe have had a lot of experience with e-bikes, and they're at least a decade ahead in terms of infrastructure and regulation. And there is a regulation in the EU, the EN 15194 regulation, which is quite well established. And consumers should be looking for bikes that meet that standard, because that cycle could be used in the United States and in Canada, which a lot of these class classified U.S. bikes can't do legally, and they're a lot safer. There are really good reasons why, in both Europe and in China, they had to refigure the regulations and depower the pedal assist and throttle control bikes.
Well, thank you for calling in, Peter. And Mary Catherine Graziano with Local Motion, I would love to hear from you about how your organization approaches this issue of safety with e-bikes, which can get up to pretty high speeds.
Yeah, so a clarification. I believe that Class 3 e-bikes have a cap on their wattage, and the legal e-bikes in Vermont roads can reach 20 miles an hour. I'm double checking that right now. But we are of the mind that we should keep an eye on safety issues around e-bikes, and that e-bikes are really bikes. Right. So an athletic person on a regular bike can go just as fast on an e-bike as an e-bike can go. So we believe that safety should be paramount, and also that focusing on the type of vehicle may not be the best focus, but rather to look at the infrastructure we have on our roadways. Are we creating spaces where people can walk and bike safely on our roadways, or are we creating spaces where it's easier to have unsafe interactions between road users because of the way we've designed our roads? Right. And that is where our focus ends up falling when we talk about safety issues.
Right. Now, I know that both of you are focused in part in your jobs on bringing more people into this sport. And one of the ways to do that is making biking a bit more financially accessible for Vermonters. Lil, let's start with you. Can you talk a bit about how the Trail Association is trying to make mountain biking financially accessible in the Northeast Kingdom?
Oh, definitely. And I wouldn't mind addressing with the e-mountain bikes, we only allow class one. Wanted to mention.
Oh, thank you for adding that. We were talking about that before the break for listeners who were just tuning in.
And if anyone has questions about that, it can all be found on our website under frequently asked questions about e-mountain bikes.
Perfect.
But as far as accessibility, our e-mountain bike policy, we're really happy with because it really fits in with our, being welcoming and inclusive and accessible to basically to all. And so that means breaking down as many barriers as we can, such as, economic, financial barriers. To start in the Northeast Kingdom, all Northeast Kingdom residents do receive a 33% discounted membership, so that, we want to make sure that everyone here feels like they can afford to get on the trails. We also work with our local school programs to provide free programming. So, we, give them memberships so that they can get out on the trails, and that's not an issue. We help coordinate all the programming, and we help pay for the instructors and do anything that we can to help get as many local people out on the trails as possible and break down those financial barriers. We also have a mini grant program. So each year we give out $25,000. There is obviously an application process, and we open that each summer and give out mini grants. So, $5,000 here and there for local organizations who basically support and encourage the mission our core values, which would be to basically provide educational and recreational opportunities and cultural opportunities to our local community. So those are a few of the things off the bat.
And Mary Catherine, what would you say to somebody who is interested in getting into biking as exercise, as recreation, but, you know, doesn't have a fancy bike and can't afford one and is feeling maybe a little bit closed out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here at Locomotion, we like to say the best bike for you to ride is the bike you have. You just need to make sure it's ready and safe to ride. So, you know, make sure everything works, your brakes, your chain is running smoothly, your tires hold air, and everything pedals and turns properly before you get on your bike. You can find used bikes all over for really reasonable prices if you look and are careful when you buy your new bike to make sure it looks like it's been, you know, maintained in good condition and not left outside in the rain for months. So we love seeing anyone riding any bike.
I love that. Well, let's go to Frank, who is near Burlington, it looks like, but not in it. Frank, you are on the air. Go ahead. And where are you exactly?
Oh, I'm just off the interstate on 89 North. And I just wanted to say hello to Mary Catherine. I work for Locomotion on the bike ferry, and Mary Catherine is one of our colleagues. And I just wanted to mention the tourism angle of cycling. I actually live in California when I'm not working on the bike ferry, so my summer residence is over there when it's a little cold here. But I ask people all the time on the bike ferry, who came from the furthest away? That's a question I ask several times a day. We had five people from Denmark.
Wow.
They were on holiday. This was a couple weekends ago. They were on holiday here in New England, and they decided to come to Burlington to ride, and they stayed for a couple days. The previous weekend, we had a group of, I think, six or seven women from the Ottawa, Kingston, Ontario area, and they were just having the weekend here. And so we get, of course, many people from Quebec and Ontario, and so it's kind of fun to talk to people who are from all over.
And Frank, I bet you get a lot of kids riding that bike ferry too, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Often local kids. But we've also had people from other places in Europe. I remember a family that we took across on the bike ferry from France. They had started in British Columbia.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were on their way to Boston.
That's amazing. Well, Frank, thanks so much for calling in. Let's stay on the lines and go to Jim in Colchester. Jim, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm very interested in the show. In fact, I'll be going up and biking in Quebec next week. In fact, until COVID hit, I usually spent more time biking in Quebec and Ontario than I do in Vermont. And particularly in Quebec, there's the Rue Vert, which is actually a 5,000-kilometer-long bike system.
Wow.
And lots of people are going there. But one thing I do notice when I bike in Vermont, a lot of the trails still haven't been really upgraded. There's the Missisquoi Valley Trail, and there's also the Delaware and Hudson Trail down in the southern part. So I'm hoping to see, as biking becomes more popular since COVID, that more attention can be paid to some of the other areas in Vermont.
Great. Well, thanks for giving us a call, Jim, and enjoy your biking this summer. Lil, with the Kingdom Trail Association, can you speak a bit to the work that you all do to update trails so that we can keep up with our neighbors to the north?
Oh, yeah. Well, we maintain our trails quite well. We're lucky to have a very unique geography or geology in that a lot of our trails are on a glacial esker. So sand below the surface of the trail, which drains really well, which is kind of one of our secrets to our trails being pretty sustainable. We also use the very best practices from the start for sustainable trail building with, you know, considering erosion and the right angle or the right ascent, whatever, how steep it is and all that, the grading. We have a full-time year-round trails director who pays very special attention to this. And then we have 10 full-time trail crew in the summertime. You know, so the first part of the summer is always dedicated solely to checking for those wet spots, trying to eliminate those areas that are chronic problem areas. And we spend a lot of the summer just kind of upgrading the trails, making sure that they are ones that are built sustainably. And then we move on to building more trails from there. So we always feel like if we maintain what we have, that's number one, and then continue to build on top of that.
And I know we've been talking a lot about mountain biking trails, but Mary Catherine with Locomotion, have you seen the number of bike paths on paved roads expanding? And I'm thinking, you know, recently as there's this, you know, renewed effort in Vermont to lower emissions and get people to start using bikes more than cars, are you seeing the investments in creating these bike paths?
First, I want to say hi back to Frank. So it's slowly but surely we are making some progress on creating bike infrastructure. That one of the main challenges is, you know, a city itself will do a pretty good job of creating bike lanes, but then they don't connect to the next city. So it's very hard to go between towns on a bike in Vermont without ending up in some pretty high stress infrastructure. We are pushing at Locomotion to make infrastructure for people walking and biking a priority, because it is an important aspect of making sure our public spaces are accessible to everyone, but also because it is part of the climate solution, the last 5 mile solution to reduce our reliance on getting everywhere by car.
Well, let's go now to Ray in Montgomery. Ray, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I've biked around quite a bit with pannier bags and camping out. I've biked all through Europe, Ireland, France, Germany. I'm just trying to think what other countries I've been through. Anyways, what I've done now is I bought my first e-bike last year. I've had two back surgeries, and I think it's great. It's a Class 3 bike, which means it has pedal assist up to 28 miles an hour. So, you know, you're not going 50 miles an hour or something, and if you stop pedaling, you don't have the assist. And it's a heavier bike, but it also has larger tires. And the advantage of that is I can transition easily from paved roads to gravel, though most of the time I'm on paved roads. So if you haven't tried an e-bike, they are pretty nice. I can go out for a quick ride and suddenly think, well, why don't I go 30 miles or something? And it's very easy. And as you get tired coming home with a headwind, you've got that assist. I think for those of us of a certain age, it's something to explore. I'm very happy with my e-bike.
That sounds great. And I think not just of a certain age, for those of us with limited leg muscles as well. It sounds pretty helpful. Thanks so much for calling in, Ray. We only have a couple minutes left. Before we go, Mary Catherine, Graziano, and Lil Ide, I'd love to hear from you one place that you are really excited to go biking this summer. Lil Ide with the Kingdom Trail Association. Let's start with you.
Well, I think that I'm probably most excited to head north now that we can go north. There are some really great places to ride in Quebec between Bromont and Valley Bras du Nord, two off the top of my head. So I'm going to say Quebec because now we can go there.
That's great. And Mary Catherine Graziano, what about you?
Yeah, honestly, just really excited that now that it's summer and my daughter's not in school, we can just go pedal around our neighborhood and explore it a little bit more. We could go to the beach and have fun. I have an ESS on it, which makes the hills actually fun. we just go explore. So that's what I'm excited about.
That sounds great. Well, I hope you both have a lot of fun biking this summer. We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank my guest, Mary Catherine Graziano, the Outreach and Training Coordinator for Local Motion. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Lil Ide, the Kingdom Trail Association's Director of Communication and Education. Thanks, Lil.
Thanks for having me. And if anyone has any questions, I think you can find all the answers at kingdomtrails.org. So head on over there.
All right. And we will be sure to link to all of the organizations that we mentioned in today's show on our website, vpr.org. Just click on Vermont Edition for our show notes.